morning. We're back in the book of Colossians. We're almost done by the Lord's grace and mercy here. Been patient listeners. So we're in chapter 4 again, and as would be oftentimes, a brother in the back when we get together for prayer here in this morning, he didn't know it, of course, but basically he prayed the message of what today is about as we go through the Word of God. That's always encouraging. So you probably figure out who you are as we go through the Word of God here. And I don't even know if I'm going to get through the end of the chapter. That might be a little ambitious today. It could be two messages, but I titled this message, The Value of Every Believer. I believe it was first coined in the Marine Corps, but I'm not positive. I think somebody here would be able to tell me this. But I know there was a TV series, and I think even a movie of this title, and it's called No Man Left Behind. And so in the church, it's no man, woman, or child left behind. Let's go ahead and read chapter 4, beginning at verse 3 through verse 6. And meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, which I am also in chains, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards those who are on the outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always seasoned, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, we're grateful. We want to tell you this morning that we're here, that you've given us a seat at the table. It is a high privilege and honor. And yet, Lord, we know we need your mercy all the time. We call out as your dear children. We need mercy to hear and your mercy to speak. Mercy to know when to speak and when not to speak, Lord. We just need grace, grace, and more grace, Lord, in our lives. And so we commit this word to you, ask for you to have your way this morning amongst all of us. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. So beginning in verse 3, here you see Paul saying, pray also for us that God would open a door, I'm putting kind of verses 3 and 4 together, for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now, this, I'm going to give you a little bit from my belief, from looking at the Word of God and looking at God's people, especially in the New Testament, we're supposed to have an ear to the ministers in the church. Now, let me put it this way, I'm stealing again one of Floyd's lines, any minister worth a hill of beans asks for prayer from God's people. G. Campbell Morgan, something that stuck out to me, and I've said this a few different times, but he said he's leery even of a missionary or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher. He said, if babies and dogs are afraid of that person, his antenna goes up. Well, I think our antenna should go up. If you listen to anybody or read anybody that's not, especially currently, who is alive in this earth now, who is not asking for prayer from God's people, there's something wrong there, I believe. It becomes too much of a one-person ministry, depending on their own strength, maybe their own charisma, as we heard about on Friday night we had a wonderful Bible study, and we're going to mention maybe some of this. But we know Paul also, where was he? He was in prison. He'd like to get out of prison and be with God's people and see them face to face. He was kind of suffering, kind of like with only FaceTime church. Not really, because he had believers there with him in prison. He was given quite a lot of liberty. We could go into that. But people were able to visit him, it seemed like, openly. And he was able to share the gospel. But he wanted an open door for the gospel. And you know, praying for open doors is not just for conference time for the ministers of God. Not just, it's a daily way of living for us as the people of God. Every person participates. See, if we really look at this chapter, you really get an idea and a feel, I believe, I do, of who the Apostle Paul is and how much he depended upon other people. This was not a one-man show. He was so tied to God's people, not only in his sphere of influence, but very far out. He's never, if you notice the Apostle Paul, he's never afraid to mention names in the Word of God. And this was kind of the modern day, this was a first century church in the book of Acts. We know a lot was going on. And Jesus was just mentioned everywhere and all the time. Now, I grew up in the 1970s when I first became a Christian. I wasn't a Christian yet. I lived in Orange County. And Costa Mesa, I mentioned this, Costa Mesa Calvary Chapel had their disciples everywhere. And I used to do this, and God forbid you do it now, but I used to do this often. That's how I got around before I was even able to drive or I had a car. I put my thumb out and you'd hitchhike. And you know what would happen? Inevitably, I'd get in the car, and who would pick me up?
A disciple from Calvary.
Yep, Christians. They'd pick me up and they'd share the gospel with me. And I even remember thinking, maybe I need to stop hitchhiking. Because I wasn't a believer in any way. But you see, there was an open door for the gospel. There's an eagerness amongst God's people. You know what? We need a little more of that nowadays. People were everywhere they went, they were sharing the Lord Jesus. And that's what was going on. And I don't know how many times, it wasn't just that, it was practically everywhere I went. I must have heard the gospel so often before I believed. But thank goodness, by God's grace, it got through to me, the power of the gospel. And this is what Paul is talking about when he says, an open door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, which I am also in chains. The mystery of Christ. Speaking of the mystery, and I'm just going to put it this way, somebody else prayed this too, and I'm going to repeat this in multiple ways through the ministry, if it's okay, is the mystery is a total dependence upon the Spirit of God, a total dependence upon the person of the Lord Jesus, a total dependence upon the Word of God, and in light of today's ministry, a total dependence on prayer and the prayers of God's people. Prayer, private prayer, can I be a little bit bold here, is not enough. We have to be willing to ask for prayer. We have to be willing to bear one another's burdens and actually cast our burdens. We're meant to help one another in this way. Now, what is that mystery that he's talking about? Well, I don't think we have to go any further than staying right in this book. And we could go, look, I could go off on tangent, just speak about the mystery. It's amazing. But we're going to keep it here in chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. The mystery which has been hidden from ages, and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, the gospel transforms human lives. 1 Corinthians, where we were on Friday night, chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 of the message of what Paul was bringing. For I determined not to know anything amongst you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't know if it was Todd or somebody else asked, why only that? Well, it's the whole gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 15. These are familiar verses, I hope. Chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. It's an order to the gospel. For I delivered to you first of all. Hear that? I delivered to you first of all of that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, the word of God, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scripture. This is the power of the mystery in the human life. Now, I don't think I can emphasize this enough. We need to pray for the ministers of God that they'd have open doors, but we need to pray for one another that we'd have open doors wherever we go. This is very important. This is why we bring people up for prayer. We've heard miraculous stories how God has opened doors that have been shut, haven't we? I mean, I think right now we could just have a testimony meeting and we could call the testimony meeting doors that God has opened that I thought were shut, couldn't we? And we could listen and we could maybe even get us thinking. But we have to be careful to also not pound doors that are shut. And spend our time. This is a tricky thing now of what I'm saying. This is why we need a total dependence upon the Spirit of God. I've been guilty of this. Pounding doors that are shut instead of asking God to open doors. See, it's a matter of perspective. Which way are we looking? We have to ask God for open doors and then walk through those doors as we're given them. Let me talk about just for the preacher, okay, and the congregation, how important it is for asking for prayer. And I think almost everyone here will know what I'm talking about. He said, well, I prayed for this person who's sharing the word of God. Next week, we need to be praying for this brother, Steve Gregg, I believe his name is. He's coming. We have a good audience today. I'd like to even, we can maybe even ask a friend. To come. He's got a daily radio program, I believe, in Southern California. I've heard a couple of segments. But you see, he's depending upon our prayers. But have you come? Have you heard a preacher? You've gone to a conference, been somewhere, and all of a sudden you say, it dawns on you, God answered my prayer. That preacher somehow is speaking right to me, and I don't even know how this is happening. It's a miracle. That's God answering the prayers of his people. God gave us food to eat in a wilderness. And if you haven't noticed, we're in a little bit of a wilderness right now in society. We need God's word. We need the power of the gospel to come across like never before. We need some excitement about the gospel. You know, we need to be praying for open doors. We need to be praying for open doors, not just for the minister, but in our family life, in some of the relationships that are difficult. In our business life, whether you're a boss or you work for a boss, whether your boss is good or bad, we need open doors. The problem is, oftentimes we make a mistake, and I'm saying that oftentimes, we, that means me, in that I'm not asking for open doors. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I'm just go about the drudgery of life, which it can be sometimes. You just get caught up in what you're doing. You got to finish your work or whatever it is. And you are not, how many times have you stopped, hit your head against the wall, and all of a sudden you just pray? And what does God do oftentimes? He opens the door. He gives a new way. Things that seem impossible become possible. This is God's way. He wants us to have that total dependence upon Him. Now, this verse is a famous verse, this about open doors, and I think we should read it to the church to Philadelphia. I'm just going to read this briefly. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. And he says to the church of Philadelphia, he says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. There's an open door that no one can shut. This is the kind of door that the Lord opens, doors that can't be shut. Isn't that encouraging? He's a good God. Ephesians 6:19, a like verse to what Paul is asking here at the end of the book of Ephesians, says this too. Again, it almost sounds the same. Verse 19, and for me, again, he's asking, just like he is in the end of the book of Colossians here, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I ought to speak boldly as I ought to speak. And that's verse 4, as I ought to speak. Back to the book of Colossians now, if you can page back there. And let's look at verses 4 and 5 here, five and six. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. So we're going to ask to walk in wisdom. And we know Solomon, the story back in the Old Testament, you know, Solomon could, you know, in a dream, the Lord asked him to ask, and he asked for wisdom. Now, who gave that? God gave the wisdom, even back then. He always has through the ages. There's not really any real wisdom except God's wisdom. This is where it has to come from. And you know who needs God's wisdom? Every one of God's dear children. We need God's wisdom. Can I say that I think the world's insane now? That might sound, you almost don't know which, you can't even make it up. And so I never dreamed of this, that it would have turned this way. The divisions in the country, let me put it that way, the insanity of what some people believe is just nuts. And what can we do about it? Well, we have the answers right here in the book of Colossians. We need to walk in wisdom, as it says. And how do we do that? Well, we have a total dependence, as we said before, upon the Spirit of God, the person of the Lord Jesus, the Word of God, and the power of prayer, and depending upon prayer and asking for prayer amongst God's people together, standing together. It's always a very important principle. We don't stand alone. We get taken out very easy. Let me again just re-say that. I get taken out very easily if I try to stand alone. Now, how do we walk in wisdom? Well, I believe It is right here again in the book of Colossians as we turn back. Hold on a second. Verse 6 of chapter 1 of the book. Verse 6 of chapter 2. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. There's no other way. It's only abiding in Christ. Let me put it this way. We can't abide in Christ, get some wisdom, step outside of Christ, live in our own strength, and be walking in wisdom. Now, that sounds like an oxymoron, but it doesn't, because our old man's tricked. We think we can get God's wisdom, which is true, by walking in Christ. So we have certain principles, ideas from the Word of God. But now all of a sudden, we step out of His mercy, step out of His grace, live in our own strength. And all of a sudden, God's wisdom is out of our grasp because we're not walking in Christ. This is the only way. It's the only way. We don't get something and then we just have it. Well, we do. The gifts are God, we're without repentance. But what I'm saying is the wisdom of God is a constant process to live the daily life. We can't live the Christian life without God's wisdom, without abiding in Him. I find it to be impossible. And I think it's the testimony of the Word of God. First Corinthians, again, what we studied on Friday. You turn back there to chapter 2 once again. We're going to define, because Paul does, wisdom. Chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, we need to link the wisdom of God in a mystery with the mystery that's talked about in the book of Colossians, Christ in you, the mystery of this that's been hidden from the ages, the hope of glory. This is where it's found. This is the definition of wisdom, is the wisdom of man, right? No, the wisdom of God is what it says. The wisdom of God in him, this is hidden from the unbeliever. Dan Cohn said on Friday night, which I thought was really good, he's Jewish, he says, God has put a veil over the children of Israel. It's hidden from them for some reason. And you know, God will reveal why over time. But this mystery revealed, the power of God, gives us access, of course, to the wisdom of God. Now we know, we can go into the other verses that say, not many wise, right? According to the world's way. But this is wisdom that's open, and I want us to think about this. I hope if you're a little bit dejected today, a little bit down, you believe what this Word of God is saying. The wisdom of God is open to every child of God because Christ is in you. It comes from God. It's God Himself is another way of putting it. It's His life in us. And that's the gospel that we preach. And that's the gospel that Paul said he determines to know nothing amongst God's people except Christ and Him crucified. Basically, he was sharing the gospel wherever he went. You know, and there's a lot of stuff that's not the gospel. Let's be honest about it. I'm not ashamed to say that here today. There's a social gospel. I mean, put it this way. It's not the gospel. The gospel is the gospel. There's a justice gospel that's going around nowadays. That's not the gospel. There's a gospel of total inclusion that everything goes and everyone's welcome. Everyone's always welcome to come into these doors and hear the Word of God. But that resembles the book of Judges more than it resembles walking in Christ and abiding in Christ. Because the gospel of walking in Christ is not an anything goes. We know that, don't we? If you're going to draw near to God, he's a burning fire. Anything doesn't go with Jesus. That's just the way he is, his very person. So let's look at a few other words here, which are amazing words here in the book of Colossians. We're still right here, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. We talked about walking in wisdom towards those now that are outside. Now we're talking about daily life as we come into contact with the unbeliever, is what he's saying. Verse 5, redeeming the time. Now, redeeming the time, the word for it in the Greek really is buy it up. That means, see, what do you have to do when you buy something? We know you have to pay for it. You have to at least barter something. You have to give something up to get it. Buy up the time. Buy up your opportunities. If you see an open door, let's put it in context of the verses before, we need to take it, which means that we have to be ready too, ready to take it. Now, I'm going to say something from personal experience. I know almost everyone here probably has done it. If you ever gone away from a situation, you realize I probably wasn't abiding in Christ like I should have, and I missed an opportunity, and the Lord reveals it to us, that's a good thing. Because he's kind to us. You know, give us more open doors. Because he's faithful to do that. Now, recently, don't get mad at me again. Occasionally I mention this. But just recently, I went duck hunting to a duck hunting club. I only have gone duck hunting. Show you how busy I am. I love to go duck hunting. I'm only going once this year. But I went to a club this year because I was invited. And it's a small club, and there weren't that many people there. And let me put it this way. I want to be careful here because I'm no better in any way than any of these guys. But at least half, if not three quarters of these guys were pretty like, what do you call it? Well, they just filthy mouths, you know, out of control that way, and we're probably drinking a lot. Now, I'm not better than that, but you know what? It did kind of vex me. I'm not used to it. It kind of startled me. Not the person I was with, because he's really a believer. In fact, he shared a wonderful testimony in front of all these people, which was pretty amazing to me. I'll mention that later, possibly. But I found myself praying for open doors then, praying for help from the Lord, because I wasn't going down some of these roads. But guess what? I found help from the Lord multiple times in this environment, which I didn't expect to be in when I was invited, to be honest. Now, one of them, and I'm just going to tell you one thing that happened, is you meet different people, of course, from all walks of life. And this one guy was a member of a hotshot crew, is what it's called. And I didn't know, but these people actually travel all over the country fighting fires. Sometimes out of the country. He was telling me recently how they wanted him to go to Australia for a period of time. To fight fires, I guess, is quite a skill. Well, and most of you may know this, maybe you don't. You can ask Jan about it later if you don't, but I'm Jan's second husband. I think most people know that. But I had an open door when I heard that, because her husband, I don't know, you were not married too long, were you? How long?
6 months.
Yeah, 6 months, and her husband died in a fire. It is a member of the hotshot crew in Colorado. You know what he said? He said, I know that fire. We studied that fire. I haven't even seen that memorial out there in western Colorado somewhere. And that was an open door for the gospel. Now, I sowed seeds. I like to say that he became a Christian, you know, and accepted the way. That didn't happen right there. But I was able to share about the Lord. It's an open door that God provided. And that kind of happened time and time again during that weekend. I got an open door. I was surprised. God loves the sinner is what I'm saying. God loves to provide open doors to us, his people, because we have something called life that the unbeliever doesn't have. It's going to be taking us, of course, walking in him, abiding in him, depending upon his life, depending upon, here I am, I'm saying this the third time, upon the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus himself, the Word of God, our prayer life, and specifically the prayers of God's people. Now, I want to look at this idea too of let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Well, we know Dan, in fact, if we talk about Dan Lindbergh, have you ever gone to a meal with him? What does he use a lot of?
Salt.
He would use a lot of salt. It was a flavoring. He had a seasoning company. He knew that you had to use a lot of salt in those seasonings. Now, I want to talk about salt in the life of the believer, because some people think it's their responsibility going around correcting everybody or being kind of the sharp knife, so to speak, and letting people have it. That's not what it says here at all. But we know Matthew 5:13 says that we are the salt of the earth. And let's actually, I want to say the whole thing, so let me, I'm just paraphrasing. Let's go to Matthew 5 quickly. Matthew 5, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then no good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under feet by men. Here's the issue, is if we compromise with the earth, with the world in particular, and we kind of, let's just put it in context of what we said. We just kind of anything goes gospel. That means anything goes with us too then, right? If that's what we believe. And it kind of makes it so we're not ready to take open doors. We're not ready to even see the open doors that God puts before us, I believe. See, we don't say that we don't sin, but we do confess our sins. And I think as the book of James says, we confess our faults to one another. And I wish I'd go, I could go on to the end of this book, but there's no way I'm going to finish this today. I'm going to do the last section. We'll just call that kind of like, I don't know what we'll call that, but final words from Paul out of the book of Colossians. But let me put it this way. As we being the salt of the earth, and I want to really, I pray by God's grace we hear this. It means we're not boring. Now let me, I took a picture of this song that we had just, somebody called. If I can get to it. The love is like a burning fire within my very soul. That's not boring. That's exciting. That's the most exciting thing in life. Christ in us, the hope of glory. There's I don't care what we bought off on, what we believe for a while. Nothing is as exciting as the Lord Jesus burning in our hearts, revealing the word to us, giving us his love, giving us his wisdom. Can I even say those that, sometimes people that are, well, we used to call them something else. I don't even know what you call them, mentally challenged. That's probably not the right word. I'm giving up my age. Some of these teachers will know the right term now, but I don't. But have silenced the so-called wisdom and sages of the earth with the simplicity of the gospel and the purity of it. But you see, our speech is always supposed to be seasoned with grace. See, we're supposed to be those that are seasoned with, our speech is always supposed to be with grace. That means grace in everything. That means that we're with somebody. You know, we don't like hearing stuff maybe we hear, but you know, we easily could be in that boat. We need to be praying for the opportunity, but always with grace, seasoned with salt, being enthusiastic. They can see what's in us. They can see if we're just like the weight of the world is on our shoulders. There's no better way for us, because we're sinful men, sinful by nature, women, children, but we have the cross of Christ upon our life. I heard a modern song, and I wish I actually even pulled it today. I was just driving the little stretch from, I'm thankful that we only live 12 minutes from my house to the office. A short period of time, and I turned on a Christian music station. I heard a rendition of Taking a Seat at the Table, which is an older hymn, but this is a modern rendition. I was touched. It transformed my entire day just hearing this song and the way this brother sang it. See, we have the blood of Christ on our side. And grace to impart to those that are ignorant of the power of God, and grace even to the rebellious that are taking a stand against the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? We all can give this testimony. Many times those that seem to be the most rebellious are those that are the closest and oftentimes give their lives to the Lord. But here it is again. He's using that word that he used before in verse 4, as I ought to speak, and now that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now, each life is unique, is what Paul is saying. Paul's saying you don't have some formula to figure this out. You can't just tell somebody like a robot the same message when you come across them. We know this. We have to have a total dependence upon God, a totally praying for open doors. Now, I hope you're doing this sometimes, if not almost all the time. You're with a person, an unbeliever, you're praying for an open door. You're praying for words. And you know, I found that more often than not, that the Lord helps with this. Sometimes it's just me in business. I'm with a business person and I have a big contract. But it's just me. I say, well, I'm a Christian. Would you mind if I give thanks for the meal? Now, you know what? In all my years, even in China, where I was with some very hedonistic people at the time, I've never had one person say no. They have always usually been gracious. And guess what happens after that? Usually, God provides an open door. They want to know something about what's going on in my life, in my wife's life. And what I talk about often, you guys. But we need to be praying, because God intends, and here's the Holy Spirit, just don't think of it as Paul. The Holy Spirit is telling this to us, that we ought to be able to answer every man, give a defense for the hope that is within us. That means we have to be looking for it, or it's going to pass us right by. We have to be looking for it wherever we are, and life. And so I find, you know, and I know you've, I've talked about this before, I'm starting again to coach with my son in baseball, but I found myself yesterday and even today praying for one thing, open doors. Because many of these people are not Christians. Some are. Thankfully, there's a whole army of them that are going to be Christians. But praying for the, I don't even know who the kids are yet, but praying for the kids that we get, praying for the parents that are going to be on the team, praying for the relationships, and that how much of this can be focused on the person of the Lord Jesus. Because God is kind and gracious to us. So here's an assignment, and I bet you at least 50% of you take me up on it. Please be praying for our brother Steve Gregg as he comes. This is going to make a big difference next week. Now, do you believe that? So may God bless his word here. Thank you, you guys.